Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday Preakness Day. Looking forward to it, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. By the end of the day, we will know if we have a shot at a Triple Crown, and looking forward to that prospect. Certainly, I'm going to go in another direction in the Preakness, but obviously betting and rooting are two different things, so if Mage wins, I will not be disappointed, as we will have the potential for a Triple Crown, and that always adds to the intrigue of any racing year. But as it is a big day down in Maryland, I thought nobody better to reach out to than our friend John Piasek from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. We'll talk a little bit of today and recap a little bit of yesterday. John, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Happy Preakness.
Appreciate it. And before we get started, what's your weather look like down there today?
Right now, it's cloudy, kind of misting, but not really raining. Temps right now in the low 60s. It'll get a lot warmer as the day goes on. High is going to approach 80 degrees, not quite like last year's heat wave. Chance of rain later on in the day. I'm not sure yet if it's going to hit a 4 or after the Preakness. I've seen kind of mixed forecasts, but I think the worst case is a good main track for the Preakness.
All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed, certainly. Let's do a little recap of yesterday's action first. And first, just give us a feel for what it was like yesterday. Weather-wise, it looked like a gorgeous day. The racing was great. What kind of a crowd did you have down there yesterday?
It was a Chamber of Commerce kind of day, as they say. Low 70s, partly cloudy. I mean, for a Friday afternoon, the most folks are at work. It was a pretty good crowd. It definitely filled up as the day went on. Not as many people there by race one. But by midday, it was a solid crowd. Yeah. And they handled about $28 million up a little bit from last year. And it was well-deserved, as you said. It was a great day of racing.
It really was. And let's take a look at the Black Eyed Susan, get some of your thoughts there. I went over and I was looking at some of the selections made by the people at America's Best Racing, and I know you were part of that crew. And so I saw you had Tax right there in your mix. I know our friend Steve Bick, I was listening to his radio show yesterday. He thought Tax was a little bit interesting as well. And Tax gets away at 11-1 and looks pretty good getting the victory. Tax is going to be the number 10 horse. But maybe the most impressive performance was the rebound performance from Hoosier Filly, who at the top of the stretch, I thought, she's going to get it done here after having disappointed early in the three-year-old season. She holds on for second. The disappointment, on the other hand, was number 9, Phasia, who went out for Bob Baffert as the 3-5 favorite. She's a well-beaten third in here. But again, nice performance from Tax. The chart margin just under 4 lengths, $24. Give us your impressions of the Black Eyed Susan.
Well, I was a little surprised Tax went off at 11-1. I guess everyone got caught up in the phase of hype. But, you know, Tax finished a good second last time out behind Wet Paint, who, of course, won 3 times at the Oaklawn Park meet and went off as the favorite in the Oaks. So she definitely had a class line. I guess everyone has got distracted by Phaser. And as you said, at Hoosier Filly, a nice rebound race. I did not know what to make of her going into this one, as obviously she had great 2-year-old form and she was infamously pounded at the windows in a Derby future booking off at 11-1 and then turned into clunkers at Fairgrounds. That was a nice race by her, as you said, at the top of the stretch. I thought she had it in the bag, but Tax ran her down. And I'll tell you what, the way Tax won yesterday, I think it's not unlike the way that Mage could win today, in which Hoosier Filly plays the role of National Treasure and Mage plays the role of Tax.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think you might be onto something there. But yeah, nice performance. Hoosier Filly rebounding and Tax getting it done. So now a couple of three-year-old fillies to keep our eyes on going forward. In the older division, I said yesterday, I liked Rattle and Roll in the Pimlico Special. And he was kind of a nice second-tier stakes quality three-year-old last year. But in the first couple of starts of this year, it fired triple-digit buyers, and I thought he may be on the verge of being a nice player in this handicap division this year. So I had Rattle and Roll on top. But I tell you, speed bias gave him all he could ask for. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Rattle and Roll is going to be the number two horse. Speed Bias is going to be the number seven horse. And this is a ding-dong battle that had to be separated by the photo finish camera because they gave it their all. Ken McPeak after the race said he wasn't quite sure whether he was going to go here or elect to go in the Blame over at Churchill. I guess they're happy they made the decision to pick up the best part of the $250,000 purse. But again, had to work for it. Rattle and Roll getting the victory, but by a chart margin of a nose. What were your thoughts on the Pimlico Special?
Well, I picked Speed Bias on top, and I used both him and Rattle and Roll in my pick five, which I ended up hitting. I was happy to hit. Of course, nice. I would rather have Speed Bias held on. Nonetheless, both of them ran great races. I had kind of seen that Speed Bias was going to live up to his name and be Lone Speed, and he was. And at the top of the stretch, it looked like Rattle and Roll was going to roll right by him, but Speed Bias showed a lot of heart. He dug in, and it ended up being a great stretch battle. As you said, Rattle and Roll quietly put together a nice three-year-old season last year. He's moved forward at four, and I think he's a major player in races like the Stephen Foster and the Whitney, should Kenny McPeak decide to go there.
Yeah, I agree. And Ken McPeak was asked, where do you go next? And he said, well, maybe to Churchill, but there's some nice races in New York. So I think he's looking at just what you mentioned as well. Any other thoughts on some of the undercard stakes as I'm kind of looking through here? Interstate Daydream looked pretty good in the DuPont. But the one that kind of jumped out to me was Maple Leaf Mel for Bill Parcells and Jeremiah Englehart. In the Miss Preakness, Maple Leaf Mel, boy, she was super impressive, I thought. She wins by a chart margin of a length and a half, but looked very good doing it. Your thoughts on the undercard?
I mean, Maple Leaf Mel, call me crazy, could end up being the best three-year-old filly in the country. I mean, it's not a great crop of routers in that division, and she's done nothing wrong in her four-race career. Absolutely blew the doors off the field. Kind of geared down late. Winning margin wasn't as big as I might have thought, but it was nonetheless a very professional effort. And I think, see, if there's a test future book, I'd send it in on him.
I like that. Yeah, very good. And you know, with those connections, that is sure to be in the mix, you would have to think. All right, let's go to today and get some thoughts, and we'll kind of do the late pick five and work our way back from the Preakness itself. So let's start with the Preakness. And I know talking to you yesterday, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about, and it makes sense, you're with the Maryland Breeders Association, a little bit about Coffee with Chris. So I pulled up a race down in Maryland I like every year and I think produces runners that you have to look forward to. End of the season, and it's December 30th last year, it was the Heft. The winner will be number eight, Coffee with Chris. Maryland bred, subsequent to the Heft, second in the Spectacular Bid, won the Miracle Woods, second in the Private Terms, and then fifth behind Perform in the Federico Tessio. But again, a hard-knocking Maryland bred, Coffee with Chris. Talk a little bit about that one in this afternoon's Preakness.
Well, Coffee with Chris, as you said, is a Maryland bred. He's only the fifth Maryland bred in the past 20 runnings of the Preakness to participate. He was bred by Tom Rooney, whose family owns Shamrock Farm over in Woodbine, about maybe 45 minutes away from the track. His pedigree includes five generations of Shamrock bred mares and nine generations of Maryland breds overall. So he has a very deep Maryland pedigree. In fact, the sire of his fifth dam was Christopher R., also a Shamrock Cobra, and 1975 Maryland bred Horse of the Year. He was purchased for only $2,000 at auction by John Salzman Jr., who's kind of the Wesley Ward of Maryland in that he likes winning a lot of two-year-old races earlier in the season. He has a lot of sprinters in his barn, not so much routers. But Coffee with Chris has answered every distance question so far. As you said, he won the Miracle Wood. He ran well in the Private Terms, I thought. He was wide the whole way. He had the outside post. Did not have a good trip, but still ran on well and got second. And didn't embarrass himself in the Tessio either. He set the pace, which Salzman said he doesn't necessarily want it on the lead. He thinks he's better off sitting just off the pace, still held well, lost by 2.5 lengths, and Salzman and his team have decided we're taking a shot, and and I don't blame them at all. As long as he gets his trip, he should turn in a good account of himself.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a horse that's this talented, you got to take the shot on the big day down in Maryland. So no arguments there. You mentioned the breeder, Tom Rooney. We had him on with us up at Saratoga last year, also the head of the NTRA. And it was funny because he had tweeted out the day before or a couple days before, because I pulled up the picture while he was on the air. He had been across the street at the National Museum of Racing. And as he was walking around, one of the lawn jockeys that are painted in prominent silks had the silks from the Shamrock silks on.
There you
so,
go.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun to see him kind of like, hey, I was walking around and here at the family silks at the museum. And
he tweeted,
yeah, very good. All right, so we talked about the Maryland bred. Let me pull up the stretch run to the Kentucky Derby. Number 8, Mage, will be the winner. I think he's the one to beat. Out of the Tessio, which I thought was just a magnificent performance, I'm going to go with Perform. I just thought that Tessio was crazy good. But again, the Derby winner, Mage, is likely the one to beat for me. Which direction are you going to wind up going in the Preakness?
With the caveat that I think First Mission Scratch made things a little bit tougher for Mage, I still think he's much the best horse in the race. I mean, no one in here besides him has faced a field as tough as the one he faced in the Derby, let alone a field that they've beaten. Of course, Mage won the Derby, but he ran well in the Florida Derby, too. He broke slowly that day, made a nice wide move, and almost beat Forte, who certainly would have been a solid favorite in the Kentucky Derby had he not been scratched. I mean, the thing about Mage is he does have to break cleanly. There isn't that much speed in here. National Treasure should set the pace. Coffee with Chris should just off him. But he can't really afford to break slowly and drop 15 lengths off the pace again like he did in a Kentucky Derby. I think the best bet is for him to sit about 5 or 6 lengths off the pace, and if they go a half and about 47 and change, then this one could be over because Mage's kick is going to be hard to hold off.
Well, you're a Maryland guy. Let me ask you what you think of Perform coming out of that Tessio. I thought it was remarkable, given he was so far back. The six furlongs was 112 and change, but just under 113. He closes into that with all kinds of traffic. So, again, and that was coming out of a maiden special, a maiden breaker. So that conservative connections went from the maiden breaker to the Tessio and then put up the 150,000. I think Perform is really interesting this afternoon.
He is pretty live. I ended up picking him fourth in my analysis on the racing bids. As you said, he closed into a slow pace and got up to win. Had a very deft ride by Virgil Lynch, who keeps the mount. The only thing is, if the pace is that slow again, it's a lot harder to outkick Mage than it is to outkick the horses in the Tessio. I think he's a better bet if you're playing a trifecta or a superfecta. I'd absolutely keep him underneath, but I'm not sure if I could endorse him to win.
And I totally agree that a visually stunning performance like that may just be exposing the other horses. We'll find out a lot more about Perform today. All right, let's take a look, and we'll kind of work our way back through that late pick five. And I heard you on a podcast this week, so I kind of tapped into some of the horses you were maybe interested in the James mm-hmm. Murphy, the 12th race, a mile on the grass. I'm not totally convinced on Nagarok, but I went back and forth and back and forth, and then I eventually said, you know what, I think he just might be the best horse. But I know a horse you like, Wonderful Justice, is, for me, playable as well. I have him in the second spot, lightly raced for Brad Cox, and we're going to take a look at the Black Gold back on March 4th down at the fairgrounds. It will be number 3, Wonderful Justice, getting it done by a neck. Talk about your thoughts in the Murphy.
Yeah, I'm not big on Nigerog. I don't think his form is that much better than the others, and he's going to be a low price, pretty hard to take. Wonderful Justice, as we saw, he ran well in the Black Gold, closed off a very slow pace, and got up to win. He improved his speed figure a lot from his maiden-breaking debut. He had a tough trip in Transylvania. He got caught in traffic early on. He was never really too able to establish forward position and ended up well beaten. I think that line is going to throw bettors off a little bit, but if he gets a cleaner break and he gets his trip if near the pace, he should be heard from late. I also like the one Buntastic, again, for Wesley Ward and John Velasquez, who has speed on the inside. And the Maryland Red, number 5, circling the drain for Brittany Russell, who has been white hot at the Pimlico Mutual in 3 races yesterday. Circling a drain has never raced on grass before, but he is made to run on the circus. He is a half-brother to 5 grass winners.
Yeah, it was funny. We were talking about Brittany Russell. We did a handicapping show earlier, and we were talking about Brittany Russell, and we were looking at the form and her 57-59% win rate in the form. And I said, well, wait, let me look up and see how she did yesterday, because that won't be figured into the form stats. And I said, well, she went 3-for-8 yesterday. I said it was a pretty good day. And then we realized, oh, her percentage went down with the three. With the three.
Don't say that too often. So not many, and it goes down.
No, she's only 50%. So, yeah, she's certainly worth watching with some of her runners on the day. All right, let's go to the Maryland Sprint, race number 11. 6 furlongs the trip, $100,000 up for grabs. I went with a Maryland-based horse from Brittany Russell. I went with Wonder Where Craig Is, coming off a nice seasonal debut last time that I think will set him up nicely for today. But again, going back to the podcast I was listening with you, let's take a little bit of a look at Al Loves Josie. This is an allowance optional claimer from back in February. Al Loves Josie is the number 9 horse. That day, 4-5 is the favorite. Today on the morning line, 10-1. Give us your thoughts in the Maryland Sprint.
Yeah, I really like Al Loves Josie. I think he's a great value play. I have been excited about this horse all winter and spring long. Turned in 2 big allowance optional claiming wins at Laurel, ran huge speed figures both times. I think his last start in the Frank Whiteley is a complete toss out. He had an awful break. He broke slowly. He got knocked around. He got settled back into position and was in the midst of a solid move on the turn when he got shut off again. And he really had nowhere to go, just well beaten, but it's a complete toss-out race. And if you take out that race from his lines, he looks a lot better. That win 2 starts back on February 25th was important to me, as he showed he could rate. He had been a pure speedball last year and earlier in the year, but he sat off the pace that day and kicked away to win. And, of course, there's plenty of speed in here, so that tactical speed should be a big asset for him. And he is a Maryland Red horse, co-owned by CJI Phoenix Group and No Guts, No Glory. Following the same folks who owned Maryland Red Horse of the Year, Feed is 3. He's by Maryland Stallion, Holy Boss, and I think he's about to shine on his state's biggest race day.
Yeah, and at a price, too, potentially, so I like that. Mm-hmm. All right, the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, named after, we talked a little bit about him earlier, Jim McKay, of course, longtime broadcaster on ABC, but kind of the man behind the Maryland Millions, and we mentioned on the handicapping show earlier, that was kind of the first of those state-bred stakes days that plenty of other jurisdictions have picked up, so that Jim McKay gets honored on the big day, very, very appropriate down there in Maryland, but also appropriate that on the such a race, you are landing on one, it sounds like, from the podcast I listened to, with some conviction in here. We're going to take a look at allowance optional claiming win May 2nd from Coppola. It sounds like you're tilting in that direction. I have Coppola right underneath. I'm going to take a little shot with That's Right to maybe have a little bit of a speed advantage over Nothing Better on the rail because of the post position. A couple of nice bullet works from That's Right too. But again, we're watching the stretch run here. Number 9, Coppola, gets it done. Chart margin winds up to be 4.5 lengths in this allowance optional claimer. So, like you, I'm putting the horse in the mix. I think you might be just a touch stronger on Coppola than I am. Your thoughts on the Jim McKay?
I mean, Coppola is my day manager. I'm singling him in the pick 5. If he wins, I'll have a good day. If he loses, I won't have as good a one. He has been a much better horse since he started racing on the grass for Del Romans at Gulfstream Park. He's gotten better with every start. He ran big 2 starts back at Gulfstream on April 2nd, probably would have won if not for encountering some late trouble, ended up beaten by about 3 lengths. And once he found a place to go in that race at Churchill, he just exploded. He won by 4.5 lengths, could have won by a lot more, ran another big speed figure. And as you said, there is a lot of speed in here. Nothing Better, a Mid-Atlantic-based horse for Jorge Duarte and Horacio Caramanos, has speed on the inside. As you mentioned, That's Right, another local horse based at Parks and Michael Moore. He'll also show speed. And as such, I think this race could set up very nicely for Coppola.
Very good. And finally, we'll kick off that late pick 5 in race number 9, the Skipat. $100,000 up for grabs. Is this, you guys were talking, and the podcast I saw you on was the In the Money with Four Natal. Mm-hmm. And is Old Bay the beer company you guys were talking about?
Well, Old Bay is a spice company.
Oh, okay.
They're very iconic down here.
And
like
the
Old
spice
Bay
got
spice,
tied
which is like
into the
in Maryland.
The spice got that. You were saying anything with Old Bay on it, you can have a. And what was the nickname of the brew down there that you guys were talking about? Natty Bo.
Sure.
Natty Bo.
Oh, yeah. Natty Bo.
There
Natty
you go.
Bo.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything with Old Bay on it and a Natty Bo to wash it down is the most stereotypical Maryland meal you can possibly have.
That's what the reference was, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, are you a crab cakes guy?
Love crab cakes.
Yeah, me too.
And I have been exposed as a non Maryland native down here, because actually on one of the first days I worked for the MHBA, every year they have a big crab feast. Sometimes it's at Timonium, sometimes it's at the office, but everyone comes by and eats crabs. And I do not know how to open up a crab, and everybody else there knew how to do it, so I was exposed. I might have had a big sign over me saying, "This guy's really from New Jersey. He doesn't know crabs."
Yeah, that's it. You'll learn pretty soon. You'll be pointing to the newbies.
I'll catch on.
You'll be pointing to the newbies as well. All right, the ninth at Pimlico today. The ski bat, $100,000, 6 furlongs the trip. And here we're in agreement. I am also with I'm the Boss of Me. We're going to take a look at the Oaklawn race from April 21st. I'm the Boss of Me, the number 9 horse, winds up winning by 2.5 lengths as the 2-1 favorite. And I think off of that race, I'm the Boss of Me with I-Rod hopping on board this afternoon. Looks pretty good in here. Your thoughts in the ski bat?
Yeah, I'm the Boss of Me ran big that day, dueled through fast fractions, kicked away. Even who raced two back in the matron stakes, not as bad as it looks on paper. She had to duel through absolutely brutal fractions, kicked off an opening quarter in 21 seconds flat and a half in 44-1 over and off track. And with those fractions, it was little wonder that she got swept up late by Wicked Halo and Matarea, both of whom are, in my opinion, better than anyone in here. And I'm the Boss of Me still finished 12.5 lengths clear of her dueling partner in third. So it was still a big race. She'll have a lot of speed to deal with here. Princess Cocachin should have speed from the outside. Oksana should have foot from the rail, but she's shown that she can withstand it and should be a formidable foe on the front end. If the pace does melt down, I like Begin a bit, but she was scratched. So I'm kind of leaning toward gunning now for Kenny McPeak and Flavian Pratt. Of course, she is Mage's half sister. She came back off a long layoff in mid-March at Oaklawn Park, and since then has run 3 big races in a row, has good tactical speed, and could take advantage of a pace meltdown.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm the Boss of Me over gunning there as well. And, John, while you were talking, I pulled up, I mentioned you were on the podcast with Pete Fornatale earlier in the week. But you mentioned that you had the selections over on the Racing Biz, the mm-hmm. nice website, friend Frank Vespi, covering racing in that Mid-Atlantic region. And I pulled it up. You've got the entire card handicapped over there, so people can swing by the Racing Biz as well. And if you see Frank today, say hello for me.
Will do.
And, John, appreciate the visit. Also, if you see Dave Rodman, say hello for me as well. I haven't had a chance to check in with Dave in a while also, but he does a great job down there. Also, as do you when we have you on the show, and we appreciate the thoughts going back to yesterday, a little recap of Black Eyed Susan Day, but some thoughts for today as well. And again, wish you and everybody down there a great day. As I say, I'm going to be looking for Perform. Betting and storylines are different, so betting I'll root for Perform, but if Mage wins, chance at a Triple Crown, that's always a lot of fun, and that's what makes the Preakness so much fun. There is always the potential for a Triple Crown when they come to the Preakness. So, John, appreciate the visit. Have a great day this afternoon.
Thank you, Seth. Take care.
Appreciate it. John Piasek from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association giving us some thoughts from Pimlico for this Preakness Saturday afternoon card. And again, go over to the Racing Biz. John has the whole card handicapped over there. All right, I'll wrap it up for this morning. Again, it's an abbreviated edition because I would assume they will kick off with some kind of pregame festivities, pregame handicapping. I have the simulcast signal from Pimlico right up there. So far, they haven't done anything. They're just still showing the current Preakness odds. But as I say, I would assume they'll they'll kick into a pregame show sooner rather than later. So we'll wrap things up with an abbreviated edition of Racing Across America on this Saturday Preakness Day. But before I go, I will remind you, Clubhouse Racebook today, we open momentarily. We open at 9:30 this morning, so the doors will open in just a moment or two. Our clock is actually slow, so the doors have probably opened a moment or two ago. But come on down this afternoon. Join us. Always, big days are always a lot of fun. You get to root along with a nice crowd. Come down, grab a little lunch at Fredella's and enjoy that as well. But we have the two drawings and the chance to win a little extra money. At 2 o'clock, we will select the bankroll team. I will be out in the front half playing a bankroll all afternoon on behalf of the bankroll team. Whatever the winnings are at the end of the day, the team splits up. So we're looking forward to knocking it out of the park. That'll happen at 2 o'clock, that drawing, so put your name in the hat for that. Come early. At 4 o'clock, we will select four people that will each get a $50 Preakness bet. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. So this afternoon, Clubhouse Racebook, Preakness Day with some nice promotions that offer a little extra something-something. So come on down, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. I'll be back. The pregame show's just kicking off, so perfect timing. I'll be back for some of the early races down at Pimlico. And again, they kick off at 10:30, so I'll be back in less than an hour. We'll take a look at the first few races at Pimlico before I step out in the front half for the bankroll today. So wrapping it up for Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. Seth Merrill, thanks for joining us. And again, we'll be back in about an hour or so to kick things off at Pimlico on Preakness Day. See you then. We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.